Hey, patrons and YouTube members, and welcome back to your exclusive weekly patron cast. This time, season 3, episode 21. And as always, well, almost always, there are three things I want to talk about. The first one is the worst sponsor offers I ever got. One of you mentioned that as a fun little thing to talk about, so I compiled a few weird ones, completely out of touch ones, and just plain, like, badly written offers. The second one will be my SteamOS console, because it's finally done. I received the PC, I managed to install everything, so I'm not going to spoil everything there, because I'm gonna make a dedicated video out of this, but I still wanted to tell you about the experience, which wasn't super smooth. And finally, we'll go over the usual channel-related things, for sponsors, for click rates, for how the channel is doing generally, and a few more personal things. So first, let's start with the worst sponsor offers I ever got. So some of you asked if I could take a look at that, and so I sifted through very old mail, deleted mail, junk mail, to see the ones that really, really were terrible compared to what I usually get. And let's be clear, when you have a moderately successful YouTube channel, you get offers every day for stuff that you might care about or stuff that you might not care about. I generally tend to say no to about 99% of everything. Most of the time I don't even answer, and for those that I think, yes, I could maybe work with you later in the future when I have open slots, I answer and let them know that for now I have literally no space to add a new sponsor, and so I'll reach out again when I do. So one of the first really weird offers I received, and also one of the first I received, period, on the channel, was for a gaming chair. And this isn't necessarily completely out of touch with the channel, but it's still not something I was willing to accept, because the chair itself that they wanted me to promote was really bad. It was some kind of racing car seat, but full pink in all faux leather, with bunny ears sprouting out of the headrest. And I was expected to promote it specifically to gamer girls. So they wanted me to receive that pink chair, install it. I could keep it after that if I wanted. So I was supposed to install it and then make a video, at least make a sponsored mention out of it, and say, hey, if you're a gamer girl, this pink chair with bunny ears is perfect for you. Which, not only is that a product I would never feel comfortable recommending to anyone, because every time I used the gaming chair, my back was killing me. They're really not comfortable, at least the ones I tried, at friends' houses or in general stores. I just never felt they were comfortable. They were horrible for posture. They just don't work for me. But also, like, the way they wanted me to promote it was pretty sexist. Like, gamer girls can't want a black chair with some red accents or RGB. No, they want a pink chair with bunny ears. Of course they do. So yeah, of course, I declined this one. I also get very regularly offers from Wondershare, which is a company making video editing software and tools, PDF tools, and the like. And they just keep sending me those emails like, hey, do you want to sponsor our product? And every time I answer, your products do not support Linux. You don't have a Linux client for any of your stuff. So reach out to me when you have a Linux client, and then we'll be able to talk, because they're not open source. And yeah, why not? I mean, I could look into the company, I could look into the product, try it out. If it's good, why not recommend it? If it has a Linux client, for now, I didn't even look into the company itself because, well, I know they don't have a Linux client. And so I said, no, reach out when you have a Linux client. But they keep sending me emails again and again and again. And I'm like, no, I already told you no, like, at least 5 times. Stop. So now I just delete the emails. Like, how do you reach out to a channel that only talks about Linux and offer to sponsor them with tools that don't support Linux? It doesn't really make sense. It would be like you have an app that's exclusive to iOS and you're trying to sponsor Android Central. It's nonsense. Now, one of the most out-of-touch offers I ever got was multiple offers for Windows and Microsoft Office Key. They were key resellers and they wanted me to make a sponsored mention for Windows and Microsoft Office Keys. So not only are these websites probably illegal, because most keys that you can buy online are just not legal keys. And also, why me? Why my channel? You haven't watched any of my videos to offer something like that. The only time I talk about Windows is to say how terrible it is and how Linux is better, or to pick a few ideas from Windows that they do better than what we do on Linux. But why would anyone watching my channel use a link to buy a Windows or Microsoft Office key? It makes no sense. Now, I also got multiple offers from influencer agencies representing Raid Shadow Legends, and they actually offered me at some point 3,000 euros for just one sponsored video, which is a lot higher than what I charge, like an order of magnitude higher than what I charge for a sponsor. And at some point, I even got offers for the same month from two different agencies to sponsor Raid Shadow Legends. And in my mind, I was like, you know what, you could do just one video and say to the agency that it's theirs, and you'd be good. Like, of course, the link in the description might not be the right one, but I could go around this telling them that I'm going to track the link, I'm going to do the tracked link, and so I would have sold the same video twice. But then I thought, yeah, that's a scam. This is probably not legally advisable. And honestly, I just do not want Raid Shadow Legends on my channel. It's everywhere on YouTube. I don't think it's a good game. I think it's a freaking gacha trap game to get you to pay to accelerate growth of your settlement or whatever. I do not want to sponsor this kind of stuff. Like, mobile apps are generally out of the question on the channel. So no, of course, I declined them. And I also very recently got an offer for a company making Italian leather seats for your home theater room. Not just chairs, just seats for home theater rooms. That's the only thing they do. And, well, of course I said no because I could not review that product because I don't have space to put that. I don't have a home theater room. And honestly, no, that has nothing to do with my channel at all. And then in more general terms, I get offers that are just for affiliate marketing. So basically you only get paid if someone buys something or subscribes to the service using your link. So basically what you're doing is giving away free notoriety for the brand. And if someone buys later, because they learned about this thing from your channel, but they decide to buy, I don't know, a week later using Amazon or using the website directly, but just not using your link, you don't get a single cent. I do not like these programs. The only one I ever did was for a free start page browser extension. And it worked so well that they had to pay me a pretty sizable sum of money, and they canceled the program 2 months after, probably because it was way too expensive for them. I don't remember how much they paid, but it was like something maybe like $10 per app install or something, or I don't know, maybe $5 per extension install. If the extension wasn't uninstalled in the next day or 2 days, which, if you think about it, it's a free browser extension for privacy. Like, of course, you're going to get a lot of downloads for that. It's free. People are going to try it out. And so, yeah, they ended up paying me a lot more than what a normal sponsorship deal would have to do. And they canceled it right afterwards because, well, they probably did it with other YouTubers as well. And they probably noticed that it was way too expensive for a free extension that would not give them much business because it's free. I also got an offer by a company making hearing aids, which I have nothing against, but it just doesn't fit the theme of the channel at all, so why? And I get the usual, like, healthy greens, the meal prep services, the standing desk, the gamer chairs with or without bunny ears, and stuff like that, that just doesn't fit the channel at all, and that, I don't know, when I make videos about Linux or privacy, I don't want to be sponsored by something that has absolutely nothing to do, like, I don't know, ball powder or whatever, or shaving kit. It just doesn't fit. It makes no sense. So I didn't get anything too weird, but a lot of those were pretty disconnected. And then there's also all the emails that start with Dear the Linux, as basically the first name in my channel is the Linux and the last name is Experiment, because YouTube, when you create a personal channel, wants a first name and a last name, and so that's what I did. And so they grab that automatically and say, Dear the Linux, instead of using, like, a name or maybe even watching a video to see that, yes, I'm Nick, because I say it basically at the beginning of every video. They didn't even watch a single video of mine. They just said it automatically. I also get Dear Influencer emails, which is zero effort. So generally when it starts with that, I just delete the email immediately. But worse, I get emails that are sent to multiple different YouTubers or persons without putting them in BCC. So basically they're all in the clear text to field of the email, which means that you can see the email of people you don't know about, and these people can now have access to your email, which sucks, basically. If you do such a mistake, you're going into the trash immediately. Like, I'm not even reading it. So the amount of spam from potential sponsors is super high. Most offers never even watched a single video of the channel before offering a sponsorship. Some are completely off base with their prices as well. Some offer like $1,000, $2,000 per video, which I would never have the views to make this worth it. Like at that price, you're better off just buying YouTube ads and you'll get a better return over investment. It's not worth it for you. Why would I accept at that price? That's not what I charge. And so in the end, I'm very glad to have a really nice selection of sponsors that are all related to my channel and what I do. And so I don't feel forced to work with these other sponsors that I have nothing against specifically, but they just don't fit what I do. And I have nothing against people who accept offers from them. I mean, you gotta eat, and if it fits your channel or what you're doing, or if you don't care if it fits, then good for you. But for me, it just doesn't feel worth it. Like, what kind of credibility do you have when you start your video saying, hey, you know what, I'm gonna teach you how to harden Linux, and then you have a offer for a CD key reseller for Windows. Like, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't work. The only offers that aren't necessarily weird, but I always say no to, are VPNs. Because VPNs, generally, they're going to want you to say that it's the ultimate privacy tool, that it protects you from everything. But that's just not the case. It's one tool in your privacy arsenal, in your privacy weapon locker, but it's not the silver bullet. It's like incognito mode, basically. It's useful from time to time, but it's not the be-all and all of privacy. Just using a VPN doesn't make you completely private. And also, you have to fully trust the company that offers the service, because all your web browsing will go through their servers. So you have to be 100% sure that they don't keep any of that data, resell it, or couple it with your user or customer data. So I don't feel super comfortable recommending VPNs. Maybe if one accepts to have a mention that is more trustworthy and honest, like, yes, a VPN is not a silver bullet, but it can be helpful, this might work. But for now, all the briefs that I got were just way too oriented on, if you have a VPN, no one can track you, no one can grab your data, you're safe from everything, and that's just not true, and I don't want to, like, false advertise things on my channel. Okay, now let's move on to the second topic of this Patroncast, which is the SteamOS console. So I finally received this relatively small PC that I plugged into my TV, and that I plan to use as a gaming console, playing on the couch with a Bluetooth controller, and running PC games from Steam with the SteamOS interface. So I'm not going to spoil everything here. There will be a dedicated video in June about this, but I just wanted to let you know that it wasn't the easiest and smoothest experience I ever had. Now, the computer itself is absolutely fine. It was very well cable managed. It came with the motherboard box, additional cables for the power supply, which I was worried about because since I ordered it without a GPU, I would have to plug in the GPU myself, and of course the GPU doesn't come with a power supply cable because you don't know which power supply the person buying the card would have and what cable they would need. So I was worried that they wouldn't have any and that I would have to find the brand of the motherboard, buying the right cables for it just to make sure everything was okay. But no, it came with the motherboard box, a bunch of Tuxedo goodies because it's a pre-built from Tuxedo. I bought it with my own money. They didn't sponsor, gift it, or anything. It's just a buy. They don't even know that I bought it. So it's my own money. And basically, I picked them because they were the only Linux manufacturer that had a PC that size, that fit my needs, and that the price was right for what it was inside. So everything was super well packed. No dings, no problems on the box. It was a very good experience. Then I proceeded to install the Radeon RX 6650 XT that I bought from Amazon. I wanted to install it in, and this was pretty tricky because that's a small case. It's a micro ATX, and space is at a premium. And since the PC was pre-built, It was already all cable managed, everything was routed correctly, and so I had to unscrew the power supply to be able to plug the GPU in it, and I had to wiggle the card a fair bit to make it fit into its PCIe slot without ripping out a little transistor or a little condenser from the motherboard. So yeah, it was pretty tricky to make it fit, but after that, it worked, well, at least it was installed. I then tried to fit the PC in my TV cabinet, and it fits, but barely. I knew it wouldn't be a perfect fit when I bought it. My TV cabinet is like, I don't know, like 40 centimeters in depth, and like the PC is like 43 or 42, so it sticks out just a little bit in the front, but honestly, it's fine. The PC is all black, the cabinet is all black, so you don't really notice it. The only thing that I need to do is remove the door that was closing this little space, because, well, for now, it's just open and I can't close it, so I'll just need to unscrew it so it looks a bit nicer, and it will probably help with airflow to not have like this big door on the side that prevents air from going everywhere it wants to go, so it will be better. But yeah, it's okay. I knew about this when I bought the computer. I knew it wouldn't fit perfectly, so that's fine. But then came installing the OS, and this wasn't super fun. I went for HoloISO because I wanted the SteamOS experience. But HoloISO uses a specific kernel out of the box, which seems to be designed to only support the Steam Deck and nothing else, and so Wi-Fi and Bluetooth, for example, didn't work with it. They also provide the HoloISO kernel as a boot option that is more like a mainline Linux kernel and supports everything. But I selected it, it booted, no problem, I could set it up. It takes like, I don't know, 10 minutes to install and then 3 minutes to do the initial setup, and then you're good to go, you're logged into Steam, you have your games ready to be downloaded, everything works, it's great. But selecting HoloISO as the default boot option was very annoying, because I couldn't find a way to edit the grub files properly, so I had to install grub customizer, which wasn't possible on HoloISO because they're based on Arch like SteamOS, and their pacman.conf file doesn't have the right repo URLs for some reason. So every URL check just fails, it cannot create the databases from these repos, and so you can't install anything. So I had to find the correct URLs, replace the incorrect ones with the new ones, then I had to do a full system update, which took, I don't know, about an hour, even though I have a very, very good fiber connection, and this update failed multiple times as well, because, well, it's Arch, so when you apply giant updates all at once, you're bound to have issues, and then I managed to complete that and install Grub Customizer, which could not edit the Grub file, because it's a custom one made by the HoloISO developers. It has a bunch of conditions to support specific hardware with specific boot options. So I commented all these use cases in this file, and then I saved the file, I opened Grub Customizer, and I was finally able to just change the order and put HoloISO as the default option, and it worked. But after that, all the games that I tried to run were limited to 720p. I couldn't even change the resolution in-game. So at that point, I was frustrated and annoyed. I had been at that for like 3 or 4 hours trying to find solutions. I gave up. I decided, you know what, people recommended Chimera OS, so I tried that. I installed it. It installed immediately, super easy to set up. But it couldn't ever connect to my Bluetooth controller at all. Like every Linux distribution I used can connect through Bluetooth with an Xbox Series controller. No problem. I never had to do anything. Its firmware is up to date. It works on Fedora. It works on Ubuntu. It worked on Vanilla OS. It worked everywhere except Chimera OS, which is funny because it's an OS designed for gamers. And I tried to edit the Bluetooth.conf file. I tried pairing the controller manually. Nothing worked. So I just gave up on Chimera OS. Because at that point, I had noticed that in the SteamOS interface, when you go into a game's properties, you can set the resolution. And by default, it's set to default, and the default apparently is 720p, because that's the resolution it expects to run on a Steam Deck. But now that I knew it was possible, the last issue for me on HoloISO was fixed, so I reinstalled HoloISO, I redid all the various steps without all the research needed to know how to solve them, so it was quick, and then I managed to install my games and set the resolution correctly, and everything worked. Except performance was really bad. I don't know why, like I could not reach 60fps running Jedi Fallen Order at 1366 by 768. On mid details. It struggled at 45 FPS, so I thought the graphics card had an issue, but no, it was I found online that it was because sometimes the card or the drivers decide to run this card in low power mode. Not every time, but sometimes. And so it doesn't spin the fans, basically. So it's cooled by the rest of the case, and so your performance is absolutely abysmal compared to what it could deliver. So I found a way online to change that and put the card into 3D full screen mode, and I wrote a small script that I run using systemd to automate that at startup. And so finally, after a full day of tweaking, I could play some games, and they play pretty darn well. I won't go over all the benchmarks, but basically everything I threw at it plays at 1440p on high details, upscaled using GameScope to 4K, and everything reaches 60fps no problem. The only exception might be Cyberpunk, which tends to dip more towards the 50-55fps at the highest details. But using the built-in FSR instead of the GameScope FSR managed to fix that as well. And probably at medium, some games would run at 4K native, which makes it about as powerful as a PS5, maybe slightly more powerful, but for double the price, double the size, and double the noise, and not as easy to use, and you can't turn it on by turning the controller on. And yeah, so is it worth it? Well, you have to wait for my video to know. There are some cases in which, yes, it's definitely worth it, but not for the general public, that's for sure. Now, let's finish with the last topic about the channel and some personal stuff. So, in terms of the channel and performance, last week was pretty mixed. On the one hand, the Framasoft video really didn't do all that well. It only reached 30,000 views in 4 days, which is below average, and it makes it my least performing video out of the last 10 ones I posted. And I don't quite understand why, because click rates are good. The thumbnail and the title seem to work for people. People watch it, but they don't watch it long enough compared to my other videos. People leave before the halfway point of the video, which is generally after that. People generally leave after that if you have to average it. I have like 7 or 8 minutes of average watch time on my videos, which is about halfway through the video. And even some a nice person with a really nicely phrased comment told me that the video failed to grip them. Even though they usually watch everything to the end, this one just didn't work for them. And it seems they weren't the only ones. And I don't really know why. It uses the same editing rhythm that I use on my other videos. Maybe it was too much of a litany of various services, not enough added value, not enough explanation. I don't know. But it didn't really do all that well. On the other hand, we had the Vanilla OS video, which did really well, with more than 110,000 views in 3 days. Now, it's probably due to its somewhat clickbaity title, I will admit that freely, but it manages to grip people, and they don't leave halfway through the video because they're like, oh, you know what, this doesn't really work with the title. So, I guess it's click incentive, it's a click incentive, but it's click worthy and not clickbaity, let's say it like that, because if it was pure clickbait, people would be like, hey, this doesn't solve the question that the title asks, so no, I'm out of there. So yeah, this one did really well, and the news video, well, I posted it on Saturday, but it's going to be the average news video, it's going to work like normally. Now, let's talk about sponsors. I still don't have any news from Tuxedo on the sponsorship matter, but they did send me the Stellaris 16-inch, which I received, and we exchanged a few emails where they didn't really answer when I asked them about the sponsorship numbers, were they satisfactory or not. They answered every other question, but not this one, so I'm guessing they're still deliberating on that. And we also planned an interview for June on the podcast where I'm going to ask them a few questions about how they work on their laptops, desktops, what exactly it is they do, what are their plans for Tuxedo OS, stuff like that. So it's going to be an interesting one. And it's planned for June. So if they plan to drop me soon, would they plan an interview with me? I don't know. Not sure. But yeah, you know what? We already talked about that topic long enough. And this week, I had a nice other sponsor offer, which I'm really inclined to accept because it's the perfect fit for the channel. I won't tell you who it is because nothing is signed, nothing is agreed upon. They still have to get back to me on how many videos they'd like to sponsor and stuff like that. But it would be a perfect fit. Like, it's an open source thing. It's well known. It has great trust in the open source community. And I think it would be a really, really good sponsor for the channel, which, yeah. So I'm just waiting for them to really send me a complete offer and make sure that we all agree on what we want. and then we'll get going. I will have to probably displace some other sponsors. Probably I'll do one less Linode video and one less TuxCare video. Because they're great sponsors, I love having them, but they've been here for a while now, and just changing things up can be a good idea, I think. And second, since these two sponsors have been here for a while, they still pay the same price that what they paid when we first signed the contract, sometimes 3 years ago, which is way less than what I charge for new sponsors, because the channel has exploded since then. When Linode started sponsoring the channel, I think I was at 15,000 subscribers. My videos did about 15,000 views in a week. Now they do like 45 to 50,000. And they still pay the same price because I don't want to upgrade those prices. I don't care about that. But it also means that when there's a new sponsor that is very interesting for the channel, that people will absolutely enjoy, and that will also pay like the normal prices for the size of the channel now, I think it's good to change things up. So if they want to sponsor the channel, if this new sponsor is on board with everything we discussed, then yes, I'll probably remove one video from TuxCare. They'll have two instead of three per month, and Linode will have one instead of two per month, and we should be good with that. So I won't tell you who it is. You'll have to wait to discover that. They might also be interested in sponsoring the podcast. Not sure if they're completely interested in that, so we'll wait for that as well. But if they're interested, I will probably accept because, well, they're a great thing. They're a great app, a great program, and I just don't see myself passing on that offer. And I think listeners to the podcast will also agree that it's a pretty good deal. Okay, and now for next week, we'll only have two videos because it's the beginning of the month. So I dedicate this first week generally to administrative work like invoicing, writing the sponsored mentions in advance, planning the dates for the sponsored videos, doing my taxes and stuff like that. So we'll have one video on privacy, comparing Linux to Windows and macOS, the data they collect out of the box, how you can like curtail this data collection and stuff like that, and a few examples of Linux distros or apps that do collect data out of the box as well. And we'll also have the news video. And apart from that, I don't have much new stuff to report. The weather is incredibly nice these days in Brittany, so I do all my script writing either at the nearby cafe or in my veranda, where it sometimes reaches 40 degrees these days if I forget to open the windows. 40 degrees Celsius, not Fahrenheit, which is pretty warm if I forget to do a bit of ventilation. And I'm planning to have a bit more work done in the flat as well, because my window blinds are old and rickety, and the little sticks that you turn to get those blinds down are very old. They leave smudges on my walls of old oil, and even washing them doesn't solve the issue. They look old, they're half broken, they just don't work that well. So I'm waiting for an estimate to fix that, to change those little, like, I don't know how you call them. In French, it's a manivelle. It's like a thing that you turn to lower the blinds. I don't know. I don't know what the word is. So they're going to change those. They're going to repair a few hinges on the windows that were snapped before I got the apartment and stuff like that. So I don't know when that will happen. It won't be disruptive for the channel at all. I think it's like 3 or 4 hours of work. They can do that while I do something else. It's not a problem. And the last thing to do in the flat, basically, will be to give the bathroom, the shower, and the water heater a makeover. Because now that the rest of the apartment has been basically completely renovated, the shower looks pretty out of place. It uses an old, like, sort of pinkish tile on the wall of the shower, and the little piece of furniture with the sink in it just doesn't look too good. It's not practical. It doesn't have any drawers. There's a very small mirror. It just looks old and tiny, and it's a big bathroom. It's like 9 square meters, which is huge. So I'm going to remodel that a little bit. I'm going to keep the original shower, the floor, but I'm going to have the shower completely re-cleaned, including all the joints. They're going to be remade. My painter is going to repaint all the tiles in a color that fits the apartment more. He's going to repaint the whole room with some more water-resistant paint, because the one we used last time was an experiment. It was a organic algae-based paint, which works really well in the rest of the apartment, but it's not super resistant to humidity, so it cracks a bit. So in the bathroom specifically, we're going to use a more chemical-based paint that resists humidity. It's going to be better, I think. It's going to hold up better with time. And then there's the water heater that I still need to replace, but for now it works. It still has a few years in it, and I don't really want to replace it right now because basically there's drywall that has been applied all around it when they redid the isolation of the flat. And so to remove the water heater and install a new one, they would have to cut through the drywall, and I don't want to do that right now. So I'll do it in two steps. First, just remodeling the bathroom. And second, we'll change the water heater, just cut the bit of drywall, and I'll have another coat of paint and mortar done around it so it looks good. I'm okay with that. It's not super efficient, but I don't want to have my flat immobilized for like a week right now. It's just not convenient. So yeah, we'll see later for that. So that's about it for the channel and for my personal things. And that's about it for the podcast as well. So if you have any questions about the various sponsor offers I got, if you have questions about the SteamOS console, if you want to talk about the performance of the channel, maybe if you have an idea why the Framasoft video didn't do all that well, let me know in the comments. And as always, thank you all for listening. Thank you all for supporting the channel. And I guess you will hear me in the next one. Bye!